na 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 na. If you manual laborers would work as hard as the owners, you wouldn't be so poor now, would you?
Here come the odd step up. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up the crew in all the area. Murderer. Still love you like that. Hey, no, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the fat lady say.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
Here come a flat top, become grooving up slowly. You got juju, eyeball, he want holy roller. You got head down to his knees. Got to be a joker, he just do what it.
There really is so much going on. This is just going to end up being like a mishmash, hodgepodge of whatnot and what have you. I shit you not, player. There's just a great deal happening. there's tort reform. I posted some of that stuff to my personal Facebook page. There's Flint, Michigan news updates. Some coming off NPR and a defamation lawsuit being dismissed by a judge. EPA chief says the government waited too long in Flint water crisis. All right. Apparently, Flint water is wet and letty. And fucking with the New Haven Register, we have a hardcore Becky Lives Matter. Holy shit. I think that might go ahead and be a segment on the free feed, but I do want to include that in this fully produced Patreon-only episode. All right, a heavy-handed Becky Lives Matter, probably going to take up a lot of time. we also have folks yelling racial slurs and whatnot. And we also have utterly horrific news involving kidnapping. All right, you know how the wine cellar is. It goes up, it goes the fuck down. Indeedly do, it does, neighbor. All right, got to get Phoenix Cleater up here up in the joint so she can rock out with me. We have our backup help us out computer doing one of those automatic updates that these computers just force you to fucking do. I wonder if too many people were making old computers last by not installing whack-ass updates that don't help shit. So now they're just fucking Mando. That's the cool fleeky way to say mandatory, right? Indeed, Ledoux neighbor. Let's get down to some mother splunkin' splarkin' wine cellar.
He wear no shoe shine, he got toe jam football, he got monkey finger, he shoot Coca-Cola, he say, I know you, you know me. One thing I can tell you is you've got to be free. Come together right now over me.
You dance like a white man, and I love it.
Done like a jackrabbit, vanishes front of that. On the side, that's it. Spot a cracker, you got to feed down below his knee. Hold you in his armchair, you can feel.
Jesus was a white man, too.
Na 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 na.
Students are breathing a sigh of relief tonight. Police say they found the man who showed up at their school with a paintball gun that looked like a high-powered assault rifle.
Boston 25 News reporter Robert Goulston talked to police and Natick High School about how all of this was handled.
I was nervous at first.
The disturbance happened just as school was letting out for the day.
It is scary to be in so close to that at our school.
The fact that it happened at the school, I think, sort of created, you know, extra urgency. There's obviously a lot of pedestrian traffic. There's a lot of kids, a lot of parents.
18-year-old Jacob Rodriguez is accused of storming onto school grounds in Natick with his pickup truck, holding a paintball gun and yelling racial slurs and other profanities at a group of minority students at the high school.
He apparently engaged in an altercation with those students that involved some racial remarks.
Police say Rodriguez was holding the paintball gun that looks like a high-powered assault gun and yelled, "You come over here and you'll get shot up." The school superintendent says the students being targeted kept their cool even though they did not know his intentions.
So I'm proud of them. I'm also outraged for them and on behalf of anyone in the community who's observing this situation. This is not how the Natick community behaves.
While speeding off, police say Rodriguez fired the paintball gun up into the air. Police say Rodriguez also sent a Snapchat with a video of himself making a handgun gesture and firing it towards the camera before panning over and showing the paintball gun. Police say Rodriguez has no connection to Natick High School, but one father told us he believes the suspect may know some of the students. Some students say they were rattled.
I was nervous and I was a little surprised, honestly, to hear that someone came through, especially because they didn't even know at first there was a paintball gun, so it could have been anything.
Police are still trying to determine a motive in all of this. Rodriguez will be back in court in May. He was released with a GPS. In Natick, Robert Goulston, Boston 25 News.
All right. And so now, this individual that goes by the name of Jussie Smollett. I don't, that's a name, I swear to you, I've never really heard a name like that. Jussie Smollett. And I still, you know, I just want to hear the little nigga speak for himself. You know, like, hey man, this is what's happening. You know, instead of every fucking body speculatizing for him. Right? And so to my understanding, and I'm not gonna front, like I was pretty weak on this story. I didn't really read it a great deal. I didn't read threads about it a great deal. I saw what homophobes and shit like that had to say, niggas like that, a little bit. But to my understanding, like some time ago, some weeks, maybe even over a month or so ago, like this is not really a new story. It's almost April right now, you know, and apparently, some fellers, some homophobic fellers, white fellers, harmed him, you know, and then there were some images online of his face, injured. And then there's videos and it's like, oh, look at these, some Nigerian niggas in a store buying some shit. But then, you know, now I say, but then, you know, time passes and, I mean, to my understanding, Lil Homie Loco's career is probably in the can. You know, he's going to fucking have to go work at Home Depot or become an independent content creator, hope to get a Netflix deal or something. You know, I think independent content creators is his best way to go. You know, like hopefully Cuz has some grits set aside or can do a GoFundMe and fund a project, independently produced and released series, because it's going to be hard to get hired now after what has been done to his name. And so now what has cracked off now is that charges have been dropped. And then, Phoenix Kalita told me this in the car on the way home from work. And, like, of course, my first question is, who was charging them? They're like, government-sanctioned, taxpayer-funded prosecutors. Basically, a Kamala. You know, and apparently they didn't really have shit on Loco, so they had to drop the charges. So now it's extra, like, how much lying is happening here? Like now it's in your thing, like, so there's two fucking white supremacists out there that are ready to bash another nigga up. Or maybe try to catch him slipping and bash him up again. I don't fucking know, man. So, I don't know the story that well. But, Jesus Christ, man. I know that what I did leave in a comment section, because I think Raymond Loco made a post about it, and I just posted, you know, the story about, the story that Illinois firefighters tell about Chicago police. And it's like a, it's a story saying, all right, so, like the FBI and the Chicago police, they have to go catch a rabbit in the woods. And so they release a rabbit into the woods, and the FBI goes into the woods, and they're in there for a while, and they come out, they're like, fuck, we can't find the fucking rabbit. And then the Chicago Police Department goes in there in the woods, and they come out with a bear that's all, you know, bruised up, banged up a bit. And they're like, what is, oh, you guys couldn't find the, and the bear says, I'm the rabbit. You know, and remember, that's the police department that came out woofing that shit to ruin Lil' Cuz's name. So, you know, let this little nigga Jussie Smollett do his fucking thing. Fuck y'all niggas. All right, so something that I didn't know leading into a story that is indeed current, right? So these two things do come together Mormonishly, and I don't know if Phoenix Kalita is going to make it to the microphone on these recordings. I know it is Tuesday. We are fucking late. I'm fucking dying to fucking get content up. Like, sometimes it really is hard to get the podcast done. So a story that we missed a little over a year ago, January 26th, 2018, folks may not know of or may have forgotten this name, Josh Weed. And I'm one of the people, I heard about Josh Weed on these atheist podcasts, you know, way back when that shit was really cranking off in, you know, 2010, 11, 12, when it was like, whoa, man, there's an atheist podcast, you gotta check it out. And then that shit got really boring because, wow, you're an atheist. Do you have anything interesting to say? It got boring a little fast. So the ones that were really dope and had shit to say kept going. And other ones, well, their archives might still be available. All right. And I think it may have been the Cognitive Dissonance Program with Tom and Cecil, who are actually local. Like, I think they don't live too far from where we are. And they were talking about this Josh Weed cat, who was a cis gay man, but married a cis hetero woman because of his Mormon beliefs, right? And that really is the whole thing. But apparently, in January 26, 2018, they announced that they're getting a divorce. And here is a quote from the blog post from their divorce. They put, today we need to let you know that Lolly and I are divorcing. Lolly is the cis woman's name. Lolly and I are divorcing. And they continue, after recounting the, end quote, after recounting the couple's accidental rise to a meteor spotlight. Ooh, excuse me. When Josh Weed came out as a gay Latter-day Saints man who was faithful to his church and married to a woman, they were in high demand to explain how they made the seemingly contradictory lifestyles, that's that nonsense, lifestyles work together. I've been bugged by that, shit where people call the fact that some folks are gay a lifestyle since I was a teenager. It's like, what the fuck are they doing different? Let me guess. When they go to work in the morning, they drive their car backwards. Just throw that motherfucker in reverse and jump on the freeway. Is that part of the, that's the gay lifestyle there, buddy? Is that what happens? Is that, somebody tell me something. They trim their fingernails with circular saws? Is that the gay lifestyle? Huh? Hmm? Eh? They use Visine as eardrops? What the fuck are you talking about? Gay lifestyle. What is that? Jesus Christ. Gay lifestyle. Get the fuck out of here. All right. And there's a quote off of Josh Weed made a tweet about it. And Josh Weed said, I wish we could sit down with each person who sees this and explains why Lolly and I are getting divorced. Since we cannot, this post will have to do. All right. And what really says a quote from Lolly stands out on their blog post. And this will be the last quote from this article. Quote, and that is what human beings need to be. Healthy, all of us. Romantic attachment, it's one of the main purposes of life, end quote. You know, kind of stands out, but I don't think that the fact that we as mammals exist and are alive inherently has purpose. You can choose to act with purpose as a mammal, but just the fact that a motherfucker was born, that is not inherently purpose. You may have been conceived on purpose, but you didn't do that shit on purpose, motherfucker. Hey, cut the shit, fucking cosmic thinking motherfuckers. All right. And that dances forward here. Over at pinknews.co.uk, we have gotten a great deal of news from them over the years. Article up by Nick Duffy. And we're also a little late on this one. January 22nd, 2019. Individual that goes by the name of Dave Matheson. I do not know of this person. And this article says that David is a notorious Mormon practitioner of gay cure therapy. Okay. And the therapist was one of the best-known Mormon practitioners of conversion therapy, setting up the Journey into Manhood program in line with the church teachings that direct gay people to repress their feelings and marry someone of the opposite sex. All right. Now, this is US-based, and they make sure to tell you that because pinknews.co.uk is in the UK. So they make sure to let their readers know that this is a US-based therapist, and this therapist made a message, and it was shared by the folks at Truth Wins Out. And it's a campaign group that that is against gay cure therapy, and Matheson said, quote, my time in a straight marriage and the ex-gay world was genuine and sincere and a rich blessing to me. And they got a picture of him. This kind of a buff nigga. And continues saying, now I remember most of it with fondness and gratitude for the joy and growth it caused me and many others. But I had stopped growing and was starting to die. So I've embarked on a new life, a new life-giving path that has already started a whole new growth process, end quote. Now, now that he's on this new path, this gay cure therapist now formally will not renounce his past work. Continuing saying, Matheson insisted he was not renouncing his work. He added, quote, I wasn't faking it all those years. I'm not renouncing my past work or my LDS faith. And I'm not condemning mixed orientation marriages. I continue to support the rights of individuals to choose how they will respond to their sexual attractions and identity. With that freedom, I am now choosing to pursue my life as a gay man. End quote. So, coming out as gay, gonna live it, which is basically date folks of the same gender. I mean, might be transphobic, might not date a trans man. I don't know. I don't have that much detail in front of me. But won't renounce the old work. So, kind of still a fuckface. Still the same fuckface you were. Just selfish. Just selfish than a motherfucker. Came along fucking other people's lives up, and now it's your personal time to party. Fuck you, David. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody hit me up. Let me know. I could be ill, and I tend to do that. Let's see. So, there's an individual that goes by the name of Wayne Besson of the Truth Wins Out campaign and said, quote, "If conversion therapy does not work for authors like David Matheson, who write books on the discredited practice, it is naive to expect it to work for those reading such deceptive publications," end quote. And I don't know where this quote is from, but it's kind of just kind of splashed in the middle of the article. And it says, conversion therapy is consumer fraud and ought to be outlawed in all 50 states. Oh, that's a quote from David Matheson. So, he's saying it's bullshit, but he won't renounce what the fuck he did. Jesus Christ. Oh, excuse me. But let's move forward a little bit more. So, there's an individual that goes by the name of Chaim Levin. I'm saying Chaim because C-H-A-I-M. I think that's Chaim. Chaim Levin is a former victim of the Journey into Manhood program. That was David Matheson's program. And this individual has been a plaintiff in other actions against gay cure therapy. Added, quote, "While I am pleased for Mr. Matheson that he has found a path forward for his life, I can't help but think of the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are still stuck in the closet, a closet that was created in part by Mr. Matheson himself." End quote from Chaim 11. All right. And this shit's over there on pinknews.co.uk. I really need to get this episode posted. I don't know if Phoenix Collider is going to be available for this one. Yeah, I don't know. All right. So, Phoenix Collider has been following this Yvette Carnell with Breaking Brown. I don't know much about Breaking Brown. Like, all I know is that back in 2016, Yvette Carnell was like, "Man, I don't really fuck with Clinton." And I was like, "You're damn right." And then that's pretty much all I know. I think that's what a lot of us only knew. And we weren't the sort of dedicated audience that sits through her two-hour broadcast. And but Phoenix Collider, you've got it.
Yes.
Yes.
So, all right, are we doing the clip first?
No.
All right, the thread first. All right, so basically, I follow Talib Kweli on Twitter, and these ADOS niggas have been, like, really upset with Talib Kweli, and Yvette Carnell got involved, and I was like, this just seems fucking shady. Like, there was a really big pile on. They're actually still in his mentions. It's been going on for weeks. And then I'm looking at a lot of these ADOS accounts, and I'm starting to see people I've interacted with before. None of these interactions have been good, by the way. Like, one guy's a fucking conservative. He's black. He's a conservative. He's a veteran. He believes in that fucking QAnon shit. And he was trying to argue with me that the black community doesn't tolerate abuse of black women. Like, what?
No.
No. No.
Are you shitting me? Look, the Dr. Dre Nothing But a G Thing video when they're playing volleyball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was a very feminist moment.
Yes. And then, you know, another one of these accounts was arguing with me, saying that, like, you know, feminism is cancer type shit, and also a black conservative, and, you know, saying things that, like, black feminists have never talked about prison abolition before, or the school-to-prison pipeline, which is, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever heard of Angela Davis, maybe, but she talks about that stuff sometimes. So, like, so I'm seeing these accounts, and I'm like, what the fuck? These are these ADOS people. And then I'm looking more and more. There's a bunch of them that are white trolls. And then, you know, we've talked about Tariq Nasheeda's getting in on this shit with his fucking Tangibles family. Like, bullshit. You know? And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I, you know, actually made a couple tweets, and I was like, Tariq is gonna pull this shit all the way to the right. And then the more I look at it, I realize, nah, nigga, they already all the way to the fucking right. And so now, I'm hearing, like, this shady shit. They're, like, on this anti-immigration rhetoric. They're, you know, a lot of homophobia. There's a lot of misogyny. And then I'm starting to look at Yvette Carnell, and it turns out Now, mind you, she's one of the co-founders of this fucking movement. She is, she works with white supremacists. Like, straight up white supremacists.
And there is an irony to Yvette Carnell sort of overlooking the homophobia.
Yeah, because she's a lesbian. So it's just like, all right, then. So she is a board member. And also, don't fucking tweet me about this shit. She fucking said it herself. Go read her goddamn timeline. Because ever since I put up this thread, my mentions of people say, that's not true, you're slandering her. Nigga, she fucking typed it out her goddamn self.
And that's the weird thing. It's like, you're a fan and I'm not. How do you not know they said this shit?
Right, exactly. Like, there's screenshots and everything. So, this is someone on Twitter. Her at is Amani Kushan. And she is in a lot of these threads with Talib Kweli as well. And she put this tweet up and said, ADOS co-founder Yvette Carnell admits to being a board member of right-wing think tank PFIR, a known front group for white nationalist John Tanton. This is the source of the xenophobia, the anti-African pro-Trump rhetoric. Now you know. And she screenshotted these two tweets from Yvette Carnell. It says, First Progressives for Immigration Reform, that's the name of this group, PIR, whatever. So Progressives for Immigration Reform. She says, first, it's not a right-wing group because progressive is in the name. Apparently that makes it progressive. Fuck ideology. She says, I'm one of three blacks on the board, and there were four until a recent resignation. Also, two white environmentalists, including one previously on the Sierra Club board, a diverse group. Secondly, I announced on my show when I joined the board, it's not a secret to anyone who's been following me. Apparently it fucking is. Because these niggas don't know. And so then I was like, all right, well, let me see what the fuck this, you know, this fucking group is. And so I go to their website. It's progressivesforimmigrationreform.org. You know, and I'm like, all right, let me, you know, just dig around and see what the fuck we have. So, here's the first thing I come across, right? This is on their website. They're obviously proud about this shit. How many people can live on planet Earth? PFIR, so Progressives for Immigration Reform, wants the United States to take the lead in combating global climate change. That's why we support higher mileage requirements for cars and trucks, increased funding for mass transit, replacing coal-fired plants with solar, wind, and other alternative sources. I'm like, okay, that's great. Hey, all right, you know, I'm good for it. However,
what?
They also say we need to stop population growth. I'm sorry, that sounds vaguely like eugenics. Stop population growth.
Go talk to the fucking Catholics.
Shit. And then this is something else under their jobs, wages, and immigration tab. This is their like fucking about me section. Progressives for Immigration Reform is committed to creating a just and flourishing society, one that provides ample economic opportunities for all Americans and where workers across all sectors can earn a decent living. Okay. That's cool. However,
yeah?
They're blaming immigrants for wage stagnation. We believe reducing current excessive immigration levels is one key to reversing declining economic fortunes of the American worker.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's how capitalism works.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you get rid of the immigrants, then wages go up.
Yeah, everybody gets rich then.
Everyone's going to get a raise.
Yeah, because then the ownership class is like, holy fuck, it's nothing but Americans here.
And also,
now I got to pay more money.
Peep this little sly shit. We deplore the great increase in economic inequality.
They're deplorable?
It's deplorable.
Huh.
They're not right-wingers, though. They're progressives. It's in the name.
I guess with that word, Hillary made fetch happen.
She did actually make that happen.
She won something.
This is also from their shit. The upshot is that immigrant workers increase competition for American workers, driving down wages and employment opportunities. Uh-huh. Immigration from 1980 to 2000 reduced the weekly wages of native workers by 4%. So not the employers, not the CEOs, the immigrants.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because that's who the CEOs listen to.
The
immigrants were like, hey, man, look. This poverty shit, don't knock it till you try it, buddy.
Yeah.
Lower that wage.
Yeah, actually, it's a fun fact. They were going to increase the federal minimum wage for the first time in 10 years, but immigrants were like, no, we like it at $7.25 an hour.
Yeah, they were like, hey, poquito dinero, mucho trabajo, es todo bien, güey. That's what they said.
That's what they said.
I heard them.
And then this is another, thing about their environmental conditions. The United States has to greatly increase its humanitarian assistance to the poorest countries in the world. Okay, cool. The focus of such assistance should be to build capacity of those countries to live in harmony with the natural resources available to them. Mm-hmm. Such development is in the interest of the United States, both to enhance... Stop it.
Both to... Fixing the microphone.
Both to enhance... I lost my place. Okay. So to enhance global economic welfare and to end population pressures that lead to poverty. Mm-hmm. In order to effectively address the poverty of working people in developing countries and enhance prospects for sustainable development, U.S. foreign aid should be focused on those investments known to lean to population stabilization. Sounds like eugenics again. We'll only give you foreign aid if you stop breeding. And also, live in harmony with your natural resources. How the fuck is anyone supposed to live in harmony with our natural resources when we keep stealing other people's shit?
Oh, because then you have less of it to live in harmony with. That's less to manage. That's easier, right? You know, right. You're not like, oh man, we got this whole clean lake and river of water. But they're like, no, now you just got a puddle to work with. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
And then the first priority should be provision of comprehensive voluntary family planning and reproductive information. sounds like eugenics again. Bringing the population size into balance with natural resources. Nigga, we have resources. We have a shitty distribution system. It's called capitalism. It has people hoarding shit. There's plenty of shit. So again, fucking... sounds like eugenics. And then I keep looking. They have, under their news tab, immigration news, they fucking straight up link to Fox News. The hyperlink goes to Fox News. And here's the title of the article. Hundreds of illegal immigrants released into U.S. amid overcrowding at detention facilities.
And then let's reset. These are the folks that Yvette Carnell of Breaking Brown is down with.
Yes. And then this one. They have a straight up hyperlink. Click here to get the Fox News app. Like, what the shit? And then they posted an article for Breitbart. They posted an interview Trump did with Breitbart about the invasion of illegals coming across the southern border. Yep. And the thing is, like... They're not even trying to be subtle because at the end of the article, it has the name of all the writers, right? Alexander Marlowe is editor-in-chief of Breitbart. Matthew Boyle is the Washington political editor of Breitbart. Amanda House is the deputy political editor of Breitbart. Charlie Spearing is the senior White House correspondent for Breitbart. Like, nigga, they're not even subtle about it. And then they also under their immigration news, MS-13 members accused of stabbing 16-year-old. Okay. I mean, I thought maybe they were going to talk about, like, ICE or something.
No, but they said accused, which means it's not it's not settled yet.
Right.
You see, so what they're doing is being nuanced here.
So, yeah. So, this is who, you know, this is who these people are. This is the PFIR, Progressives for Immigration Reform. And Yvette Carnell is on their board, and she's fucking happy about it. Like, she thinks it's a good idea. She said they're progressive. I don't know about y'all, but this shit doesn't sound progressive to me. And then, add in this organization, PFIR, was founded by a guy named John Tanton. Have you heard of him?
Nope.
He is a conservative who basically is pro-eugenics and is anti-immigration. Holy shit. How could I have known that this organization was like that? Oh, wait, because all their rhetoric fucking reflects that. So here's a direct quote from John Tanton. One of my prime concerns is about the decline of folks who look like you and me. For European American society and culture to persist requires a European American majority and a clear one at that. Wow. At all.
That, it's not, because they said a clear one, so like they're getting away from color. You see? See now, so maybe you're the real racist.
Yes. And so then I just have, you know, some stuff about this guy, John Tanton, who founded this Progressives for Immigration Reform. Yvette Carnell, co-founder of ADOS, is on the board. This is what ADOS supports, okay? Mm. So, here's just, you know, a couple things. He has another organization, this John Tanton guy. It's called the Society for Genetic Education, and it's pro-eugenics. Wow. It's like a trend with this guy. You know, he's also was the founder of FAIR, which is the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which is like the blatantly, openly conservative version.
Yeah,
of
let's
it.
Do let's do that acronym again.
Sure. FAIR. Federation for American Immigration Reform.
All right, not to be confused with FAIR, the Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, I think it is.
Yeah.
Not the same folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was a national president of a group called Zero Population Growth. Fuck,
all right.
Man.
A little, yeah. Very subtle.
Very subtle. Yeah. And so he has, quote, openly embraced eugenics, the science of improving genetic quality of the human population by encouraging selective breeding, and at times advocating for the sterilization of genetically undesirable groups. In 1975, he wrote a paper arguing for passive eugenics, whereby childbearing should be restricted to people based on their age. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then, of course, his typical anti-immigration stuff, where he's, again, talking about we need to have European-American majorities. And so, yeah, that's the guy. This is obviously a white supremacist, obviously a racist, promoting eugenics, anti-immigrants. And he founded FAIR, right? And that's where Yvette Carnell is on the board. This is who Yvette Carnell opted to work with. And some people were like, well, but just because she works with them doesn't necessarily mean it has anything to do with Eidos, somehow, some way. So I just want to pull up a quote from Yvette Carnell. Huh. I mean, she's kind of blatant about what the fuck she's doing, if y'all would read her fucking Twitter. She says, this is a direct quote in one of her tweets. Lastly, I joined the PFIR board to advocate for the style of politics I'm doing right now, which promotes an Eidos justice claim and our primacy to other people of color and immigrant groups. Hashtag lineage matters. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what Yvette Carnell is doing. And that's why I really don't fuck with Eidos, because, you know. There was a lot of, you know, red flags with all the fucking homophobia, all the fucking misogyny, and then, you know, Tariq got involved with the fucking everyone who doesn't like it is moist or a coon or a bed wench, you know, and I was like, I'm gonna keep looking at it, and now this is what we have. Literally, the leader of Eidos is working with a white supremacist organization that wants to sterilize brown and black people. Yeah, that's Yvette.
Yeah, and then, she has a short video clip up. You said you saw where Yvette Carnell is saying Donald Trump. This is the title of the video on YouTube. Donald Trump is so right about how poor black people are.
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Yes, all of us.
Yeah, like poor,
like Beyonce.
And that's a fact.
Oprah.
Donald Trump said, because I'm really not. I really expected black people to go in on Donald Trump when he said that we're poor. Because part of the problem is that we're delusional. Like, we don't believe we're poor. We can give you all type of statistics talking about how you can give, you should give black people opportunities, you should help black people. But the minute Donald Trump says you're poor, what do you have to lose? Black people had a problem.
See,
and it makes no sense.
Uh-oh, my bad.
Donald Trump's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, see, now, this is, like, disingenuous in its own way, because when Donald Trump said that, he meant to vote for him and not Hillary. He said the Democratic Party is doing nothing for you. What do you have to lose by voting for Republicans? That was where the fuck it was meant to go. And she's being really disingenuous about that, acting like he wasn't talking about voting for him. Also, there's a picture of her wearing a MAGA hat, by the way.
That's fun.
Yeah, like that exists. So yeah, I just, it's fucking disingenuous as shit to me. Like, yeah, he said that to get black voters, not, you know, and obviously he doesn't care about black people.
Said black people are poor. He said your schools are failing. What do you have to lose? And that's just the truth. And, you know, I was watching MSNBC earlier this week, and I saw this woman, I don't know who she was on MSNBC, I don't know if I've seen her before, I obviously didn't remember her, but I saw her say, well, you know, he's being condescending to black people, and not all black people are poor. And I'm kind of sick of hearing that, because most black people are poor, or in the working class, like, that's poverty. You know, this is what happens.
All right, so let's see. Right, so you'd vote for Republicans to get something different from Democrats, because what do you have to lose?
Right.
And I remember when I was in Florida voting in 2012, and there was actually Republicans had got it up on the ballot, I think state referendum.
Yeah.
And, headphone cords.
Yeah.
And the, and they had it up there saying that they wanted like private little white Republican Christian schools should get public school funding.
Yeah.
And that would come out of the public schools and go to those private schools.
Yes.
And that was Republicans pushing that.
Yes.
And then what? Cory Booker is like the king of charter schools out there in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But that shit comes from Republicans. They push that shit hard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing them pop up in Tacoma in Washington State. Like, I think McCarver became a charter school. And what you saw, like, I remember seeing, and we're right there on, we're on, I think it was J Street, either J Street or MLK, but, like, we were right there. I think you would call it smack dab in the hood. And, like, over those years, since I had moved there in 1996, you just watched that, you saw less and less black children going in and out of that school,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then you saw uniforms come into play.
Yeah.
And then you basically just saw a few black children, mostly white children, in uniforms going in and out of that building.
Yep.
In the hood.
Yep. And then, of course, I mean, what is the other type of shit that Republicans support, right? Always increased military budgets, increased police budgets, giving police military-grade weapons, creating more and more penalties for black people for minor crimes.
Yes.
Right? Well, fucking what? It's Republicans right now who are trying to ban sex workers from being able to vote if they have a prostitution charge conviction.
Yeah, but you see, but then that's incentive to not do that. You see, that's how mm-hmm. that's how you get sex workers to quit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See? And then mm-hmm. like you said, getting charged more for like small petty crimes.
Yes.
Then they won't commit those anymore.
Right. Uh-huh.
These are the facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what else do Republicans do? What are they kind of known for?
Oh, fucking reducing regulations on shit. And then everything gets polluted and on fire and breaks down.
Oh, that's not true. See, you made that up. Mm-hmm. Really? So what about when it comes to uteruses? Huh? Uteri, if you will. You said they're loosening up regulations. Ma'am?
Yeah, they are. They're loosening up the regulation of what counts as a baby.
Nigga.
Yeah, you saw that. We covered that shit too. I forgot what state it was, but basically like they banned abortion.
Yeah.
Like they said, they just passed a law that said you can't have one after 6 weeks. Nigga. You don't even fucking know.
Yeah.
You're pregnant at 6 weeks. Like, what the fuck? So yeah, but I mean, you know, what have we got to lose?
Stuff. And that's the thing. We actually do have some shit to lose. Like,
we do.
Like you and me in this household.
We have a few things we could lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, by voting Republican. Fuck voting Republican, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not fucking excited about no damn Democrat.
Right.
But it's like, man, Republicans, why are you even trying? Like, why do you even pretend you have any interest in the black vote? Like, at this point, I think you're far past the Lee Atwater times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. First Republican to just openly say nigger on a non-hot mic, but like as part of their speech,
mm-hmm.
is they got to, especially if they're running like at a state level,
yeah,
or like a city council level,
yeah,
they got it.
They do.
Nationally, they're gonna lose on the respectability politic,
yeah,
but fucking state level, city level, they're in there. Mm-hmm. Telling you, do it. What state senator running Republican? Pick. Especially if you're like in Kentucky or one of those places,
oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say nigger as part of your speech. Be like, if you vote for me, I will keep these niggers under control.
Yeah. Yeah, that would actually win in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. Big Lee.
Yeah. So, yeah, just fucking, what have you got to lose? A couple things, actually. And then, of course, you know, there's always the Mike Pence with the Indiana HIV outbreak thing.
Ah.
Right? When he was governor of Indiana. Defunded Planned Parenthoods where people were getting STD testing, refused to open up a clean needle exchange because Jesus doesn't like them, and then there was an HIV outbreak. So a bunch of people in Indiana just have HIV from sharing needles.
And which, I mean, fucking, like, what was that horn, crown they put on his head? Wasn't that a bunch of needles?
Jesus loves needles.
Okay.
They were thorns, but the same thing.
I bet they weren't clean. Jesus loves dirty needles. Fuck out of here.
So, yeah, I mean, I just, like, it's just disingenuous. But, you know, this whole fucking, like, I don't know, roundabout way or just trying to be slick with shit. Like, oh, he was right. We're poor. Okay, yeah, we're poor. He was right. But then you said, what was that? What do you got to lose? Yeah, he meant to vote for him. Like, don't be fucking obtuse on purpose. You know exactly what he meant. And you know he doesn't give a fuck about black people either, so stop it. But then again, when you work with a white supremacist or work at an organization founded by a white supremacist who thinks that we should deny people basic foreign aid until they get sterilized, you know.
You know, and then also, there are gay black people. And yeah, they would lose their right to fucking be able to fucking get married and file jointly, mm-hmm, have hospital visitation rights because they, yeah, don't have a marriage license, right? It's marriage,
yeah,
license,
yeah,
and certificate. That's it. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to have that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm not going to get up there and go vote against gay black people. What are you shitting me?
Right.
Those are my niggas. They black. You know? Yeah, man, that's just fucking goofy. Yeah, so Republicans, stop pretending, quit fronting. It's corny, you're wasting speech time. I'd literally rather you get up there and do nigger jokes. At least I'd get a good segment out of it. Mm. All right? And let's go to Trump's audio, what he said. You know, not too different from what she said here. Skibidoop, doop, bop, boop, bop, ba-doo.
Yes.
Oh, it's horrible.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's his walking up music. Oh, what the fuck is that music?
No group in America has been more harmed by Hillary Clinton's policies than African Americans. No group. No.
Why is he trying to Tupac with his voice? Than African Americans. Can you feel me? Oh, fucking Trump Pac.
No group. If Hillary Clinton's goal was to inflict pain on the African-American community.
On the realest niggas. Hillary Clinton came to inflict pain. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump came to give y'all niggas game. On a Britney Spears instrumental.
Yes.
Pain on the African-American community. She could not have done a better job. It's a disgrace. Look, why do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose?
And I like the things that he pointed out specifically, like, your schools are shit. Okay, so what is he doing right now about public school funding?
Yeah, considering that he did win and, like, I forget the fucking numbers. Like, everybody remembered the 52% of white women, but
yeah,
there was a surprising percent of assumed cis black men.
It wasn't that many.
Not that many.
No. Wait,
let's see if we can figure find
it. Hillary Clinton's goal,
uh-oh, no,
was
no,
to inflict, yeah, pain.
But yeah, I was talking about, like, unemployment and shit, nigga. Okay, so where's your initiative to get black people hired?
Oh, Ben Carson.
Uh-huh.
You see, because remember, representation matters. So now all the black people see, oh, Ben Carson got that job, and now I can go get a job. And then, mm-hmm, they did. And now black unemployment's at zero.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's working.
Everybody's working.
You don't know. You're just trying to find reasons to hate.
Nigga, you don't know.
I don't. I actually don't look at these. I've reached a point where, like, I talk about mostly sex workers' rights and trans rights and Flint, Michigan water updates and white-on-white crime that, like, you throw some policy at my face and I'm like, oh, what the fuck is that? Is that a ballot measure? What the fuck is that? I don't know. Is that an amendment? I don't know.
An amendment? let's see. It, yeah, looks like...
Okay, Beast Leader's looking up the percentages of people that voted for Trump by dimmered graphics.
Like 9% of black men that voted.
Oh, that's kind of all that... you know what? Yeah, that's what Republicans always get.
Yeah, it's not really...
Yeah, because Democrats really don't really go under, like, 90% of the black vote in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and again, man, remember, Democrats, hey, it's not like black people are voting for you. They're just voting against Republicans.
Well, that's the whole fucking party platform. Hey, at least we're not Republicans.
Yep. And that's kind of it for everybody, really.
Yeah.
Every single group of people, it's like, hey, you want me at a Republican? You, yeah, see him with his fucking hat on.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen, and you know what, I have not been alive that long, and you only do the president thing every 4 or 8 years.
Yeah.
but I've never seen somebody fucking campaign with a baseball cap on. I've never, like, to where that is literally part of the campaign is a fucking baseball cap.
Ain't them shits made in China? Or Mexico?
I think the hats are made in China. His ties were made in Mexico. Yeah.
That was a glorious moment when somebody, like, said that, and this guy who was, you know, had the hat, he's like, nuh-uh, that's not true. And I'm like, take off your hat and look at it. And he was so mad. He was like, and he got very sad.
But then, you know what? He's probably still an arse.
Oh, sure.
Guarantee it.
Naturally.
All right. So, that'll be that. We recorded this, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're going to put a bunch of shit around it and make that the Patreon-only full episode. But this is hitting the socialized feed,
yes,
is what I want to try to start calling it now.
Okay.
All right. Socialized and feed.
All right.
We do pass around the old tip jar there, the paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. And folks can sign up for those when the Patreon-only program drops and get the other recent Patreon-only shows. They're really good audio. I sit there and I craft and engineer them and splice and cut and edit stuff together and try to make a really good audio experience for you at patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Get with it. Really dope audio. And I think that will be that for this. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. All right. That'll be that right there, but come on.